Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This week on Blitz, it's our preseason special, where we'll tell you what to expect from the Bills, who will go from worst to first, and what big storyline will actually happen. So sit back and crack a cold one. It's time to get Blitz. Welcome to Blitzed, where we talk NFL and rate popular drinks at the same time. We're coming to you from the Blitz Bar on the Big Play Sports Network, and we're just 2 days away from the start of the regular season.
Yes!
And I just love this time of year, because every team and their fans actually believe that they have a legitimate shot at the playoffs.
Every team does.
Except the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. So tonight, we'll be doing a season preview as we kick off the NFL's 100th season.
This is awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Introducing tonight's starting lineups. The coach.
Seriously, I did not know about this. This is so awesome.
The rookie.
Get out there and smash.
And stats.
I'm just the stats guy. I have no idea.
That's kind of my thing.
That's kind of my thing.
To commemorate the start of the NFL's 100th season, our barkeep has prepared a bourbon and champagne-based cocktail for us called the Sealback Cocktail, which contains Old Forester bourbon, triple sec champagne, and a few bitters.
A few bitters.
You know, garnished with an orange twist.
Oh, wow.
You did a great job on the twist, by the way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, nice. Hell of a job.
Oh,
maybe over-twisted.
You know when you do those Mandarin orange peel, whole thing?
Like, yeah, yeah.
I used to be really good at doing the elephant thing.
Was it an elephant?
It was an elephant.
No, I guess it wasn't. Oh, I just figured that out. Wow, it really wasn't. You dirty fucker.
He is dirty.
Okay, so as we sip this drink and consider 100 years of history, what moment stands out for you as the most memorable? Hit your cough button.
I think the
coach in midseason form.
The button that makes the cough? Thing?
Yes, please do. Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's the sound effect button.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, like that.
Nice. The most memorable moment.
Yeah.
Whew, man.
100 years.
I'm just going to go a homer pick for me.
Coach, you've been around for like 4/5 of it.
So I've got to go a Seattle highlight, of course.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What?
No, just
where do you think
on.
It was going?
Well, Jesus. I wanted to put in something about like, hey, don't reference your own team.
Well, you didn't say that.
Christ. Okay, so 100 years of history. We're going to go back 6 years. Yeah. Isn't that terrific? Wow.
Now what do I do?
I mean,
the easy answer is the latest Super Bowl victories, because remember we were together
when
Seattle won.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty damn memorable. The three of us were together, though.
Wow, that's true.
So that was a pretty memorable moment, just because it was a lot of fun. We were just blackout drunk. You know, it was just hilarious. We were in Seattle.
Didn't we get into that bar at like 9 in the morning?
Yeah, oh yeah.
No,
it was earlier than that. Yeah,
he was in line at like 7. He's like, guys, you better come down here because it's already lining up.
Yeah, and only like 2.5 hours later, you guys came down.
Yeah. That's so true.
Love
it.
And for me, it'd be the last Packers Super Bowl.
Jesus!
Well, because it was extra
special. This is just not going the way I thought.
What do you think we were going to do?
Here we go. I'm going to do, I was watching the Beastquake game.
Yeah.
That, to me, was absolutely insane. Like, very rare do I jump out of my seat and just, like, it's unbelievable.
Crowd silent now, as opposed to when the Saints had the ball. Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Has blockers now. He's dancing his way for the touchdown.
It's one of those moments where you're like, I'm going to remember this the rest of my life.
Yeah,
that was insane.
That was like crazy.
It was like the OBJ catch over the back like times 100. It was crazy where you realize what you just witnessed and you're just – it was incredible. That was a very memorable moment for me.
That was
true. David
was
Tyree.
Crazy. Yeah, that
Tyree
was
a
that was crazy.
And I remember I was in Europe at the time, oddly enough, watching it, and it was just it was like 2 a.m. or maybe it was 4 a.m.
Huge fan base over there.
Yeah, huge. Oh yeah, there's lots of people there in my my hotel room.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just it. I was just stunned. I was almost numb because you just didn't think that could ever happen.
No.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
Who would have ever bet that the Giants and then done it that way? And that for me was an unbelievable moment that it'll always stick with me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Over the undefeated Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, that's absolutely. That was David and Goliath. That was literally David versus Goliath.
That was. Well, literally. Well, I don't know.
David Tyree.
Yeah, but who's Goliath?
Who's Goliath? Goliath Jones, the guy
Goliath
who tried to
Brady?
Tackle him.
First down. Mailman. Mailman.
Some people call him a savant. We just call him our barkeep. Joining us on the phone right now. Anyways, he's just produced his NFL preview for the 2019-2020 season. Thanks for so much for joining us, barkeep. Does Josh Allen's performance in the preseason give you concern or optimism?
The first couple games, I was very optimistic about him. And then I watched our third game. Against the Lions, and I was starting to feel a little bit of concern because some of those accuracy issues returned. I was actually fortunately able to watch him because it was on national. I'm not sure if it was on national TV, but it was on CBS here where I live. So I was able to see some of the passes, and he was missing some wide open receivers and didn't really look like he was making kind of great decisions right away. But again, we were really kind of focusing on the run game throughout much of the first quarter and much of the second quarter. And then he kind of put together a nice little drive before the half, so it kind of came back together. I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. When it comes down to the preseason, I think teams are working on some things that they want to try for when it comes to the regular season. They want to see some players that may or may not be on the roster bubble. And I think maybe Josh Allen might have been working on some of the things for himself. We don't know what really truly happens. Now, if he comes out week one against the New York Jets and we see the same sort of accuracy issues and indecisiveness, then we're going to, you know, I think Buffalo's going to start kind of getting a little rowdy on him. But again, we have to really kind of be patient with him. He is a second year quarterback with some of those growing pains that, you know, he was not considered a pro ready quarterback coming out of Wyoming. There's going to be weeks where he's just absolutely fantastic. And I think there's going to be weeks that he still has those growing pains. And if Buffalo's allowing him to be patient and we're patient with him, I think that he still is going to have some more of those growing pains this year.
Yeah, fair enough.
What did Devin Singletary show you in the preseason that made Shady expendable?
I think it was a combination of what Devin Singletary showed us as well as what Shady is not showing us.
Right.
Devin is a young buck coming out. He's fresh. He has quickness. He's elusive. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He kind of is like a really young Shady McCoy. He displays all of those things that Shady had when he was younger. I think that the Bills are ready to get younger, and I don't think that they wanted to go into the season with a 36-year-old Frank Gore and a 31-year-old LeSean McCoy heading their backfield. And I don't think any team wanted to do that, as well as having a $9.5 million salary cap hit with LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Now, going on that, there were games where I've seen LeSean McCoy over the past 2 or 3 years where he's started to lose sort of that quickness, and he wasn't hitting the holes or, you know, and he was losing a step. And I still think he has some left in his tank, and I think Kansas City might be a good fit for him. But you're going to start to see that there's other running backs. You know, I think he's at the end of his kind of running back career now where he can still be effective, but I don't think he's going to be the man anymore. But Devin Singletary, I think he's going to be a really good fit for Buffalo. He has a good mentor in Frank Gore, and then we have a good change of pace back behind us in T.J. Yeldon. So I think we have a good stable behind us.
But when you're talking about cap savings, isn't that a clear sign from your GM that you're not thinking about being all in this year and you're all in next year?
I don't really necessarily believe that. I think the move was made now because when we cleared that cap space now, it saved us $6.5 million, but it also allowed for us to move towards the future with Devin Singletary now. I don't think we're keeping Frank Gore after this year. He's only a one-year contract. It allows Devin to work with Frank Gore. If you looked at a couple of the videos, Devin Singletary, I think, posted on Twitter that he says, "I'm in Frank's hip pocket everywhere I go. Practice field, game field, pregame, everywhere. He's in his ear. He's asking him everything like that." So Frank Gore has really taken Devin under his wings, and he's learning from him. I think Frank is a little bit more receptive to kind of being a teacher and a mentor than maybe LeSean McCoy was. I don't really know. Obviously, can't say that because I don't know them personally. But I think that you have a guy like Frank Gore who is just like the epitome of an NFL running back who just, he trains, he runs with vision. He's still 36 years old and he ran for over 700 yards last year with a respectable 4.6 yards per carry or something like that.
On
not very good running, not a very good Miami Dolphins team,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would want to learn from that as a young buck.
Seriously.
You know, coming into the league. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. So, yes, we are clearing some cap space, but that also allows us to maneuver to be in good positions to get some more pieces to build around Josh Allen for next year while giving our young talent some room for experience this year.
So if you're Brandon Bean and you're considering whether or not to keep Shady, how much of a factor do you think ruining Endgame played into that decision?
Good question.
You know what? I avoided that at all costs because he ruined Endgame before I had seen the movie. So I still don't know actually what he said about it. So from a football perspective, I don't think it had anything to do with it.
Oh.
From a clubhouse.
You don't want to lose the locker room.
That's right.
I think he ruined Endgame for people. Maybe Brandon Bean hadn't seen the movie yet. I think he already had him on a chopping block as soon as he ruined it for him.
I think it was Bean's wife that was pissed off, actually.
I think he was already out. You know, he's like, "Oh, you ruined it for me. You're done." As soon as I saw people saying that he spoiled the Endgame, I think I blocked him or muted him on Twitter, so I didn't see what it said because I didn't want to know what had happened. I didn't see the movie.
It was
yet.
A fan move.
Yeah,
that's it
for sure.
Bean is of the people. I like that.
Oh, it had to be. He was looking out for us.
Okay, so I'm going to get you out of here on this. So by midseason, who are Bills fans going to be raving about?
I'm hoping that we're raving about Dawson Knox, our tight end. And I really hope that we're raving about Devin Singletary because those are our two young guys that I think need to step up and have big roles in our offense. If they can step up and have big roles in our offense and make our offense go, our defense is going to carry this team. I mean, we made the playoffs 2 years ago because our defense carried our team. We were opportunistic. We were turnover. We created turnovers that put our offense in short field positions to score points. We were the number two defense in total defense last year, but our scoring defense wasn't so great because we didn't do much on offense. If our offense can move the ball this year and we can put up anywhere from 17 to 21 points a game, we're going to be looking at a 10-6 record or so somewhere around there and possibly looking at the playoffs again because our defense is not going to be giving up a lot of points this year. We're going to have a really good defense this year. So I think the two people I really want to hope that we're raving about are young guys that give Josh Allen a security blanket, Dawson Knox and Devin Singletary. And then obviously I think we're still going to be raving about our defense.
Everyone's writing Dawson Knox down.
Yeah, pretty much. Our sleeper
Dawson
pick.
Knox. You guys are going to go Google that later.
Yeah,
pretty much. Google the name of my blog.
All right, you heard it here from our Blitz barkeep. He's our Bills insider. And hey, we love having him on the show. And he's just signed up for another year running the Blitz Bar.
Love it.
Barkeep.
Love it.
Thanks for having me.
Why did I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
So excited.
Thanks for joining us. And here's to a great Sunday. Good luck to the Bills.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet, man.
Good to talk to you guys again.
All good. Okay. Well, if you'd like the recipe for the Sealback cocktail and want to see what we'll drink on our next show, just visit blitzfootball.com and check out our Blitz Barkeep's blog, which is called Behind the Sticks.
Second down.
As we're thinking about the 2019-2020 NFL season, what storyline do you think most likely will play out over the course of the year?
Oh, God.
One, the Raiders being competitive in the AFC West. Number two, the Panthers winning the NFC South.
Oh, God.
Huh. Number three, the Bills finally unseating the Patriots in the AFC East. Or lastly, the Packers missing out on the playoffs for the third straight year. Who wants this? You
That's
can create,
exciting.
You can create your own, by the way.
You but I can't go
coach.
My own team.
No, you cannot.
And the Seahawks. No, no. Of those, the one I like the most. And I'm going to cheat by looking at them and make sure I got it right. I look at your first one and go, well, but is the AFC West that competitive anymore? With you know, because
what?
I mean, obviously the Chiefs will be great. Don't get me wrong, because it doesn't say they're going to win it. Just be competitive, right?
Oh,
and
okay,
so like the Chargers are lost.
See, that's why you reread.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, but that doesn't interest me the most. The one that interests me most, oddly enough, is actually the Panthers.
Winning the NFC South.
Yeah, because that would be epic.
It
would
be crazy. And you have to get by a couple.
Oh, you got to get by
some pretty angry teams.
Some extremely good teams.
Buccaneers are so angry.
Oh, yeah. But I think the Falcons are going to come back really big this year. They lost so many guys on defense
Saints
last
year.
Saints
and Falcons are both
And, of course,
pissed.
The Saints are the Saints. Right? And, the Saints, I mean, they have another chip on their shoulder from getting, jobbed again in the prior playoffs. So that's a huge, huge hill to climb for the Panthers. And who knows? I mean, they've got McCaffrey, who's phenomenal. They always have a good defense. And if Newton plays like Newton can play, then they could be a hell of a team. I mean, they had a 15-1 season not too long ago, right? So there's talent there and good coaching there.
Remember, with Norv Turner in place, Newton's completion percentage went up about 8 or 9%.
That's a big deal.
Pre-shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So
the only question mark there,
big difference.
The only question mark there is who's reliably catching passes, and then does his shoulder hold up, or does his body hold up?
Right.
Yeah. But if he's on, he's fucking good. He's really good.
But it has to be he's on. They still let him run at times to be the threat running, which of course. Potential injury there. And of course McCaffrey continues his rise, and I mean if that's working, the defense is usually very good.
The thing about McCaffrey last year, though, he's got to have some kind of regression, but he's still going to be fucking elite. It doesn't matter if he takes if he doesn't do as well as he did last year. He doesn't have to do that well. That was
But remember the world of shit that they went through last year. Like Greg Olsen essentially was toast because of that broken foot last year. I mean, that
and
is Newton's security blanket. Those guys are so in sync. And so if he holds up, I see good things happening, and that's why Newton probably won't run as much.
Won't have to,
And I would say that Turner's probably coaching him to get the ball out quicker, identify somebody that's open. That's why I think we saw McCaffrey get way more looks last year. He's able to turn a 3-yard out into an 11-yard gain. Why not dump the ball when you can?
Yeah. And
it's all about health, I think, for the Panthers.
It is. And it seems like it's crazy, but it's doable. Just because I think they have the talent. And a couple, hits to the Saints and Falcons, and then, they're only 10-6 or 11-5, right? And you never know.
And can I raise this for a moment? Every year we see Drew Brees start incredibly well.
Yeah.
And then as we get to the latter two-thirds of the season, he starts to fade off. And everyone always says, it's because he's playing outside and the weather's turned.
No.
He's a dome guy. But last year, he was a different-looking dude in the last third of the season.
Yes, he was.
And
second half of the season.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Saints continue this.
He's old.
Yeah,
he's 40 years old, man. Did you see? I saw a stat the other day where it was his yards per attempt dropped it was fucked. It dropped from 9 yards to 6.8 in the second half of the season.
Those are Rosen type
he's
yards.
Tired.
Russian.
He's exhausted. The guy just wants to go sit on the couch and have a nap. He's so fucking tired.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's got to start the decline at some point.
Well, and for a guy
if you're say what you will about the dome player, all that stuff, but it looked as though that second half of last year he was fucking exhausted by the end of the season.
Totally.
Which is, you think that the Saints are going to come back they're really good. They're going to come back super angry.
They'll start.
But their most important guy, he'll be angry for the first 6 weeks, and then he'll be like, I'm tired, guys.
Tired of being angry.
And I agree. I think the Panthers winning the NFC South is the one to pick here, because all of the rest of them are not happening. There's not a chance.
No kidding.
No.
Well, no, I think the Raiders could be competitive just because.
I think even if the Raiders are competitive, the division they're playing in, that competitive means a fucking losing season. They'll be competitive for 90% of the games, maybe, and they'll lose them all.
The Chiefs will be 14-2.
Yeah, exactly.
The Broncos will be 3-13.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. Hey. Elite quarterbacking.
Exactly.
Could you see the Raiders being 8-8?
Yeah, I could see it happening.
I think so too.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think so. And as far as I think 8-8 is the worst record in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. But I think you're competitive at 8-8.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, any given Sunday, right? You could win, you could lose. And I think they can get there. So I think that one's plausible as well. It's just not as interesting to me as that NFC South. It's actually a phenomenal division this year to watch, except for the Bucks.
If I can offer a different take on this.
It's probably going to be
something about the
Patriots.
It's going to be something about
you want to talk about the Bills,
the Packers not making the playoffs for the third
straight
year.
Too, right?
Yeah, because here's where there's lots of question marks. Is that everyone's talking about the impact of LaFleur coming in and reinventing what's going to happen on offense? Mm-hmm. However, I haven't really heard a lot in terms of new personnel coming in and really beefing up what's happening in Packerland on offense.
I thought Eddie Lacy came to beef it up.
That's true. He ate the buffet and he moved on.
We got real beefy there for a little bit.
And if you look into the data, into the stats.
Oh, the stats.
Even though I'm a big Mike Pettine fan, the defense didn't arguably improve under Pettine rather than his predecessor. Mm. And they ran that guy out of town.
Yeah.
I just don't see it all coming together. And here we are talking about a 5-11 team and then a 6-10 team. Is that how they finished in the last couple of years? And why is everybody so high on the fucking Packers? Because of one dude.
One dude?
Well, one dude.
I don't think it's because of one dude.
No,
I think they don't have a ton of depth at like a lot of positions, but it's not just the one dude. It's like the one dude chucking the ball to the number one wide receiver or handing the ball off to a fucking really good running back or to a tight end who's actually like, although he did have a decent statistical year last year, it wasn't up to everyone's standards according to this guy, but like there is a lot, and then that one dude.
Is he talking about Jimmy Graham?
That one dude is like,
I don't know, but if Jimmy Graham's blocking for him, God help him.
Aaron Jones, baby. This is why I'm going to beat you guys in fantasy football. You don't even know who Aaron Jones is. This is what I'm up against.
I love it.
Yeah. Who's the one dude?
We know who Jimmy Graham is, who you're not picking.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think that it's just a no-brainer that you put him into the competitive bracket. You've got the GOAT throwing the ball to fucking really good players.
Did Brady get traded?
Oh! Why would you do that on this show? Why would you do that?
I agree. How did you think that was going to go?
Unbelievable.
Did you think that was going to go well for you?
I wanted to see his face.
Unreal. Unbelievable. Wow.
I had to. Come on. He's trying to pump his team up, and they're just trash.
So really, this is just setting the coach up for another apology for when he selects Brady on fantasy draft.
Can't wait.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You motherfucker.
I was trying to push this price up.
Is that what you're doing?
I was trying to.
Why?
Because it's an auction draft. You fuck with people in auction drafts.
You want the price to go up.
I was. That's why I bid it up, and then no one bid past me. It's like, fuck.
Hire a PR team. We're moving on.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Third down.
What team that isn't yours are you secretly rooting to have a great run this year?
Oh, I got several choices. But
wow, way to blow up that question right off
cool,
the bat.
Cool answer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome, dude.
Several.
Mm-hmm. Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Nice take. I'm going. Here's my pick. Here's
can
my
we do pick. A poll first?
My easy pick. I got an easy pick and a tough pick. I'll go easy first. It's Saints.
You have two as well.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Several means like he's got four or five up his sleeve. Like he's ready.
I do. Yeah.
Can you say couple?
No, I said several.
Oh, you said several. Yeah. Like 12.
Thanks.
I have a four or five.
More than six.
Fine.
But my point is, I want the Saints to do really well because sure. I honestly think we talked about it earlier. I honestly think Drew's like starting to show signs of getting
toast.
Agreed. He's showing signs of having hit his fourth decade. Yeah. Like,
do you know what?
He's tired.
Yeah.
And they've got all these great weapons, and they were absolutely fucking robbed. It's crazy.
When your linemen start plucking your ear hair, you're an old guy.
Yeah, you're
an old guy. Yeah. Hey, Yoda, can you get the ball over here?
Yeah.
That was just weird.
But that's an easy pick.
That's insightful.
That's an easy pick. Here's who I hope.
By the way, can I get that
really
ear hair of yours?
Yeah. Here's who I hope has a really good. This is my hard pick.
Here we go.
I want Gettleman to do well.
Oh, I love it.
I want the Giants.
I do too.
I want the Giants. I want Eli to come out and like basically, I don't know, just throw a fucking dud. Instantly, the kid goes in, and that team turns it around, and they finish, and they're borderline playoff team.
I want
to see what happens. I want anarchy. Absolute anarchy. Like I want the whole world to apologize to Gettleman.
Well,
I just want him standing there. Oh, I love
now,
it.
I'm not
I would
a,
love
I'm
it.
A, I'm not a fan of Gettleman, but I want to see the New York media just take a fucking punch in the gut. Browns, how interesting are they? Right, that's one of the ones that you're going for. There's even the Raiders are interesting, but for me, the pick for me right now is actually the Chargers. And in
same
part,
reason for the Saints because their quarterback's getting old and
that's part of it. Even though I'm actually not a fan of Rivers, it's the Melvin Gordon thing. Do you know what I mean? Like
you want to put an end to it.
I do.
Wow.
It's just like the Steelers doing well last year.
Yeah,
like go fuck yourself, guy. That's gonna bail on
like
your team
take.
Like that. Like, come on. Oh, you're only gonna get $10 million. Poor you. I feel so bad for you for only $10 million a year, more than anybody else.
Man of the people, coach over here.
I love it.
But these aren't the people. This is the upper 0.5%. Like these are not your plebs that are just like working their way for their $40,000 a year. This is a guy that's saying no to $10 million a year.
But isn't it irrelevant?
This is not.
It's irrelevant how much money you're making. It's all about how it factors into what the market will bear for what your services are to the team.
But the NFL isn't a market. It's a fixed market.
Like, Gordon has 2 years left on his fucking contract. They offer him the second highest paid running back, and all he wants is to be the first. And I get that, like, in certain positions, like QBs, it's just the next guy up is the highest paid guy.
Which is the dumbest thing
possible. I get that.
Yeah,
but
also
put
dumb.
A fucking end to it.
This escalation thing has to end. And
man,
with QBs, too.
And in this day and age, like, you can get a fucking stud starting running back in the third or fourth pick of the draft. You know, like, everyone's like, why did you waste a third round pick on a running back? You know, like,
100%.
I just honestly, 100%. Man, I'm tired of it too.
It's getting out of control. The salary cap, everything's getting out of whack in terms of the salary. There's a few guys. I know there's always been, but like,
you know what? It's getting whack.
Getting whack. Yeah, it's not out of whack. It's getting
whack.
It's in whack.
It's fully whacked.
Fully whacked right now.
Yeah, it's full whack.
This is actually
nothing
starting to sound
worse
really bad.
Than in whack. That's my new fantasy football team. Yeah.
I've been whack.
I'm just whack.
Awesome.
Yes, go Chargers.
Fourth down.
In 14 of the last 15 years, a team went from worst to first in their division. Which team is it going to be this year?
Who is?
And I'm just looking at the options.
And who is?
You could do it with good. The backward, like it won't be the Bucks. You know, like NFC South is way too strong for someone to come up.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Who else would there be?
Is there who? Here's my question: who did Rosen last play for? Like
Cardinals.
The Cards. Yeah. Cardinals. I don't know though.
There's too many variables there that aren't.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Who else was it? What are our options?
The
here?
Obvious answer is Jacksonville.
Is it though?
Yes, the obvious answer is Jacksonville, because they finally got a quarterback that isn't Bortles. who can actually do a thing or two.
With a great defense, that's
which
fair.
Which is great. And the defense is on the rise. Fournette seems to have his head screwed on straight. Maybe
Fournette,
he'll still
it doesn't
healthy.
Matter if his head is screwed on straight. Every major ligament and bone
if
in his body is not.
He's healthy.
He's never going to stay healthy.
Okay, so the rookie's taking the Bengals instead. Okay, I appreciate that.
Well,
fair
might,
enough.
Okay. Mixon goes off.
And we're Googling. And we're
no,
Googling.
No, I'm seeing who finished last.
That's what my point is.
That's it.
Oh, I'll take the Redskins. No, it's got to be Jacksonville.
There's not many other options. There are many other options.
Who else could it
be? I'm going through them. Like obviously the AFC East.
The it's Dolphins the cards. Okay.
I'm going cards.
It's the Raiders.
It's the cards, baby.
What?
And it just proves out that if you take a quarterback first overall,
that's the winner.
Yeah, that's the winner.
I get it.
Yeah,
terrible.
It'll makes be back to back.
Terrible
then,
take.
And then you know what I like about it? The next Oklahoma kid is going to go first over. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters because Baker's been picked. Murray's been picked.
Yeah, two in
I don't
a row,
even know
right.
the name of the next guy. No idea.
It's Plummer.
Yeah, he's a
really Plummer's the next guy.
Yeah,
I like that.
After Baker, that didn't work.
Deep insight,
man.
Jake Plummer's kid.
Jake Plummer, there you
go. Jake Plummer Jr.
But there's no other team.
No, who's not a chance? Jacksonville. Foles isn't a starting guy, and their fucking stud running back is going to be gone next year.
But this is what I love.
Both of his legs are going to go spiraling into the crowd.
But
at some point
this is what I love
season.
About the NFL, though, is that you know it's going to happen.
But it probably
you just can't see it.
It's not going to happen.
But yes, it is.
Not happening.
It happens. 14 out of 15 times it happens.
I will gladly say on not live. Sorry, I thought we were. Forgot we weren't live this week.
We're not live.
On not live audio,
yeah.
That the cards stand a much better chance
of going worst from to worst to first than the Jacksonville
absolutely.
Does.
Jacksonville's not going to happen.
So by that statement, you're telling me right now that Jacksonville will have a worse record than Arizona will at the end of the year.
It would almost have to stand. Yes.
Okay, let's put real money on this.
Because
okay.
that's
okay.
Because you're going to
we're going to bet you and I are going to bet a keg of beer on this.
Okay, I like that. Bet.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right.
Can I help you drink it, or can you help me drink it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's just one night, keg of beer.
Well, one night. Jesus. What are you fucking the
well,
Iron
full
Man?
Keg? My God.
Yes.
No, okay. Actually, no.
No,
I wanna
literally have to buy it. The winner gets a keg
right.
of beer.
There we go. But an old school wooden keg with the band of metal, just old.
Our losers.
No,
old keg.
Yeah,
it's not 1865.
You mean our
no,
you
like
mean our league
keg
loser
keg of beer.
Trophy.
Yeah,
that's on Roger's shelf in the other room.
The little tiny.
Not the tiny little thing. I'm saying like a pony keg full of beer. And it's the winner's choice.
Love it.
I love it.
Love
Done.
It. Cards will finish with a better record than Jackson.
The problem with the
I'll
cards are
easy.
Their defense isn't very good. So they've got an offense that is like uncertain.
Are you trying to talk him out of this bet? We already shook.
No, you already shook hands. That's what I'm telling him. He shouldn't sleep at night. He might as well buy it right now.
I love it.
Buy it right now.
He's on my side.
I'm not buy it right now.
That's how I know I'm going to win this. Because you two are so adamant. You're like, this is going to happen. I'm like, oh, I'll take the
Hey,
number.
I called the Seahawks 10-6 last year, man.
By the way, of the three of us, how many fantasy football championships have there been?
I got my hand up.
Oh,
I got my hand up.
Coach has his hand up. And
I've got 29 other ones.
You
though.
Are
it's
a regular season
league.
Champ, and you fizzle out in the playoffs.
You
have you won a playoff game ever?
I have. I've won two.
As a bye?
Those are not wins. Those are not wins.
Those are Peyton Manning wins,
round,
by the way.
On two separate occasions.
No.
Do you know what I pulled out today? The ring.
Did you? You found it?
I found it. And I pulled it out. It's on my counter waiting for Friday.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming. I'm going to make so much noise with that ring.
Ding, I'm going to drink that whole keg.
So good.
I'm doing keg stands.
Good.
It'll take me a week and a half, but I'm going to do
fine
it.
Fine with that.
I'll
no
be
problem.
So happy.
I'm excited that I'm going to get a keg of beer.
Whew. Whatever.
Coach, we're going to have a keg in the
go
studio.
Go Cards! This is going to be so good.
Air raid offense.
Amazing.
So good.
You know what the best part is? Is that Jacksonville's going to do so well, and the Cards are going to do so poorly. We might get this keg by like week 9.
Yeah, maybe even week 8.
That would be that'd be pretty great.
Yeah. That'd be because the Cards will be 0-8, and they'll be like, "Yeah, buddy, there's no chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance."
What? Okay, no. Okay, I'm just going to button it up here.
I love it. Fine. I'm
Bet's
down.
Been laid. Bet's
no,
been laid.
I'm good with it.
Now we just got to let it happen.
Amazing.
Overtime.
Let's change gears a little bit here and talk fantasy. Which player do you think is going to have a monster season in fantasy that no one else is really talking about?
dead air. Just dead air.
I know. Yeah, I know. But I should preface this by saying we haven't done our fantasy draft yet, so nobody wants to reveal anything.
It's so true.
All right?
It's so true.
And right now, the rookie is scrambling to throw some fucking dog shit pick at us right now to say, like, oh, totally got to go with this guy. He's trying to find the eighth fucking pick of someone. Anyway, so.
DK Metcalf.
Oh,
he just went on the fucking IR.
I love it.
You
need to be reading.
Be available by week 10.
Read
Thanks,
your damn
coach.
Feed.
Thank
that's
you.
My team.
I sent
that's
you the article.
That's why I'm putting stuff out that I don't want you to know what I want to pick.
Come on. Give us one. You're entertaining audiences here.
I don't entertain anybody.
True.
Okay, for a Seahawks guy, let me jump in here. For a Seahawks guy.
Yeah.
Your guy Carson, your RB Carson.
Stop.
He's a fucking stud.
Don't
he's an absolute stud.
I know.
But he's going to get hurt, so you take Penny. That would be my pick. I think Penny's going to go off this year. Because
really?
I think Carson will start pretty strong. He'll last four games. He'll go down. Penny's excellent, and he's like...
Penny's been good, but honestly, his yards per carry are good, but it's only because he gets the odd... huge run. Like, he's not...
Dude, who cares?
Yeah.
It's the odd huge run.
Let me start again.
You're the
franchise. Who is the player...
Right.
...that you think is going to have a monster season? Come on.
I think the Baltimore kid, Lamar. I think he's going to have a monster season. And I think he's going to finish top three QB points. Just because of the... From what you hear, you know, he's chucking a lot better. He's got like a really decent young tight end in that Andrews kid. I think he's going to do really well. And I think he's got a pass catching back. Like, Ingram can do it all. They've got a lot of weapons for this guy. But then just take into account the fact that his running game is off the chart. I think he's going to finish like top three, top five QBs.
What?
For sure. Yeah.
Are you insane?
No, not even close.
He can't get a lot of points. I'm with you.
He's going to rack up.
He'll run up, and red zone wise, a running quarterback is dangerous.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you.
You're
this
just
then.
Taking this is for
no,
your
no.
own.
Yeah.
Draft on Friday. He's like scribbling down notes furiously. What? He wasn't even on my list. How do you spell Lamar? Is it two R's?
I don't have to scribble anything. It's being recorded.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so who do you think is going to get more points, Kyler Murray or Lamar?
Lamar, instantly. Kyler will win.
Not even thinking about it.
Offensive rookie of the year, but he'll have a whatever season.
Wow. He'll have like 20 touchdowns and 25 interceptions.
Yeah, so your plan to draft the kid for like $3, everyone's doing that, and you're all going to need a better option.
Oh.
Wow. He's a bit belligerent. I like this.
Coach, who do you got?
I got Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I really do. I just think if Bell is who we think Bell is, and if they use him right, which I have no idea if they will, but I think with him getting that a lot of attention, if they're stacking the box to stop Bell, he'll have openings. And with Gase there, as weird as the guy is, he's a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
He'll figure something out to make that work. And Darnold was a great prospect. Just had a shitty year with a shitty team.
He didn't though.
Right?
He had a pretty good year.
He had a decent year, but not a year that puts you on the radar, right?
No.
One's like, oh yeah, we got to get Darnold this year because he's on the rise. Well, I mean, didn't look like it. It was okay last year. So I think with that with Bell there and Gase there and some weapons, I think Darnold could have a breakout season.
Darnold had a great finish to the season.
Yeah,
he was ranked super high.
That's true.
At
and they're
end
also
of the
moving
year.
To an up tempo offense.
Well, that's my question to you is that Gase is like. Horribly, he's just his offenses are awful, except for the one year where he had
Peyton Manning. No,
that's
the Jay Cutler offense was okay.
Like,
it actually wasn't okay.
No, Cutler
for Jay Cutler
yeah.
was actually a good year.
But if he can do if he can hurry it up, if he can get the kid to actually move things along, and if they can do things differently than what Gase typically does or did in Miami, then yeah, I agree. I think Darnold's a solid pick. There you go. Here's another little hot beat for you.
Who else do you think? Yeah.
Who else? And how do you spell Darnold? Who do you think?
I'm going to go with TJ Hawkinson.
Okay.
And the reason
why
is
I like
that when we start talking about tight ends, the elite ones that are out there that can get you those big numbers, like 20, 25 points a game, remember that Detroit's going to be losing a lot of games. I don't see I
that
don't
goes
see,
without saying.
Well, yeah, I don't see Detroit really improving measurably on 6-10. I just don't see them doing that. Besides, it's tradition.
Yeah,
that
they
finish last in the NFC North. Yeah. So I think that the idea that they need to throw the ball a lot—it's something that Stafford loves to do.
Yeah,
that's one of the big misnomers about the Detroit Lions is that they have this elite quarterback. I don't think he's elite at all. I just think he hucks it a whole lot. when you're throwing the ball 45, 50 times a game, there's a lot of distribution going on there.
Right.
And we lost Golden Tate. Remember, they traded him to Philadelphia. He had that half season, the cup of coffee there.
Yeah.
And now he's moved on to the Giants. There's not a lot of guys.
I forgot.
There's not a lot of guys to throw the ball to there. So when I started looking around, I'm like, okay, we've got Javon Kearse. We've got Amendola, who's like, you know, now he's a senior citizen. We got Golladay and Marvin Jones.
Yeah, but
Golladay's good.
Those guys are studs. Golladay's going to be.
They look like studs because they've got a guy throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Fair enough.
But they've also got what nobody seems to be talking about, Daryl Bevel as their OC. Coming over from the Seahawks.
This is the next level
really
shit.
Kind of,
I'm still a fan.
Next level shit.
Who's really kind of a ground and pound kind of guy.
How do you not do
however,
better in fantasy? Look at this.
I know.
Digging.
But the
doing.
Thing about
Maybe
Bevel
this is, why.
Is that remember, he's the guy, was one of the inspirations about getting Jimmy Graham over to Seattle.
He also wanted Percy Harvin, by the way.
Okay.
Carry on.
Fair enough. But he really, really tried to work a tight end getting open in that formation.
How'd that work?
The reason why it didn't work well is because Jimmy Graham blocks like a wet paper bag. So
really,
yes.
Well,
so Hockenson.
I think that's what that means. Yeah.
Hockenson as an altogether a tight end, I think will do incredibly well in that offense because he's going to see his fair share of targets.
Yeah.
And I just don't see Detroit.
Just look at his draft position. You know, there's something there if a tight end's going in like the first round of the draft. The guy's a fucking or early on in the draft.
Note to self: if Stats likes him, don't pick him.
Yeah, that's a really good.
Was that?
We're both writing Hockenson down, but for different reasons.
Like he struck
for
it,
different reasons, striking it out.
Oh shit! I can't take that guy now.
No, he's out.
Man, I liked that kid.
He's off my radar now.
I like that kid.
Off my radar.
Wow.
I think he's gonna have a good year too. But here's the thing with
tight ends. Like he's just patting.
Here's the
thing. I think he's gonna have a good year.
Listen to me, pal. He's gonna put up 545 yards and 4 TDs,
Ow.
And that's just great. I love it. That's the tight end position for you. He's not gonna be a fucking Kittle who sets a record or an Ertz or a Kelsey the stud. He's not going to do that. Tight ends don't do that. He's going to come
he's
in and put up 545 yards.
He's not going to lead the fucking
he's not a
league
sleeper.
In yards.
He's not a sleeper.
Yes,
everyone knows about him.
No, they do not. Because everybody's talking about Kelsey or Kittle or Ertz as the big ones out there. But I think that he's actually going to make
he's
some.
Number five
he's gonna make
on
a
all
difference.
Lists, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, that's as deep as my analysis goes.
I like the slam there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Evan Engram, Giants.
Yeah.
Tight
end. He's like number four.
Thanks,
he's
coach.
Like, yeah. You guys are picking sleepers that are fourth best in the league. This isn't a fucking sleeper.
He was bad last
year, though.
You
know who's going to be good? You know, Aaron Rodgers. Little unknown kid. Slinging the ball.
I'm actually not sure about that, to be honest.
Me neither.
I was just going to say,
neither.
I'm actually not sure about that.
You know what? I'll take him for $10 then. Just give it to me. I'll take all the risk.
Injury prone, attitude problem.
Huge attitude problem.
Oh, God, yeah. He's the Antonio Brown of Green Bay.
Ooh-wee.
All right, that's it. We're out.
Thank God.
Roshan?
That's our we're Roshan.
We Roshan away.
Yeah, we're
really
Rosh away from this one.
Really Roshed that one.
Yeah, that's our NFL season preview for the 2019-2020 season.
Some really good hard hitting fantasy insight.
Do you think so?
For the listeners, yeah.
And just insight generally.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
So if I could just put a bow on it,
please, let's do.
If you Google top five best players at every position.
Yeah.
Take one of those five players.
That's your sleeper?
Fantasy.
That's your sleeper pick?
Sleeper picks are easy. Just take the fifth best option at every position.
I don't understand what he's saying. I don't.
And by the way,
what
rookie means by that is that if you know a brewery that's willing to sell you a keg for really cheap,
I need your number
please
now.
Call
I need your
him.
Number ASAP.
Yeah, please do because he is so fucked taking the fucking Cardinals this year.
Hey,
unreal.
We'll see.
Air raid.
We'll see.
Unbelievable.
We'll see.
I'm done.
Week one, baby. Fuck yeah.
I know. I'm so excited.
It is exciting.
Yeah,
it is
right?
exciting.
Fuck. Here we go. Here we go.
Woo! So much optimism in this room. All of our teams are going to do so well.
Oh,
minus.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, minus.
Go Hawks.
Sure.
Go Hawks.
All right, we're all going to the playoffs.
Super Bowl or bust.
Right?
11-5.
No, I don't care about the playoffs. Playoffs are not enough.
Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll be back to you live on the Big Play Sports Network.
Yes.
On Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And let's... let's fucking have a great weekend.
Oh, it will be.
Let's just do it.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Come on.
Going to be awesome.
Excellent. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for getting blessed with us.
Boop. At ease.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.